Gazer update for October 14th, 2018. I'm Philippe Odinolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And, this was kind of a slow week, let's be honest. Everybody's waiting for Red Dead to come out and nothing's really happening. So...
Yeah. But we got some stuff we can work with.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few games that we're following that are, progressing, and we got some announcements that we have to follow up on, so let's just get right into that, because we've probably been playing some stuff this week and doing other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'll start us off still going through Shining Force. Yep. Once I finish up Shining Force GBA, I'm finally going to get to Shining Force 3.
So, hell yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be a completely new experience for me, so that's going to be fun. Apart from that, well, I'm playing The Waiting Game because, I've got stuff coming from eBay, stuff coming from AliExpress, I guess stuff coming from all over the place, and none of it is here yet. It's really annoying, especially that AliExpress parcel, because that's my, those are my replacement GPU fans, and, the sooner I can get them over here and not making my GPU grindy noises, that'd be a bad thing. Yeah, good thing.
Actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Bad thing is if I leave them. Good thing is if I replace them. So there's that. Also wait for my PS3 Slim to arrive. I should probably get here in the next couple of days.
Nice.
Yeah. I tried to find one locally, but nobody bothered to respond to my inquiries on their for sale ads, so I guess they didn't really want to sell them. So, fuck you guys. So I went on eBay and just found one at a decent price. Word of warning, if you're looking for PS3 that you can jailbreak, get on that now, because your prices are going to start going up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so be on that as quickly as possible. And apart from that, following on Let's Weekend, on Brandon's recommendation, I went and listened to Battle Beast, and I hate you, Brandon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I listened to all of the Battle Beast, like all of it, literally. They have four albums, and I went through all of them. And I'm wondering how Nora still has a voice after all of that.
I've heard things.
because she is not one of those singers that fucks around.
No.
No. So, anyways. If you haven't had a chance to listen to them, do so. If you like the heavy and the power metal about Berserk and various other things, like ninjas.
Yep.
Yep. Definitely worth it. So that's kind of been it for me, but what about you, Pat?
Oh, I'm still glued to NHL 19. This has been ridiculous. Mostly it's been franchise mode for streaming purposes, but I've been doing some threes. I've been doing some EASHL, which is the online teams. I don't see myself putting this game down anytime soon. This is this is the hockey game that EA has needed to make for years.
How much of this is new content, though?
Well, World of Chell is new content. In a lot of cases, they just kind of fleshed out modes that already existed.
Right.
But they did it in such a way that, the main point is that it's just all such diverse content that it's amazing that they're occupying the same title.
Yeah.
I mean, threes they could probably package and sell as an arcade game unto itself.
Yeah.
The management stuff, I think, you have FHM4 that just came out that is probably the franchise mode's direct competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You just have so many, of course, like again, World of Chell pretty much adds an entire social platform into the game that that gives you new ways to interact with the community rather than just dropping into rank matches with randoms. I don't know. It's never come together this well in the past.
Yeah. That's fair enough. I mean, it's like,
I mean, a lot of the stuff's already been there. Obviously, Hockey Ultimate Team's been there for years. And that's sort of where they get their their microtransaction revenue from, but World of Chell is completely new. Threes is new-ish. I think they just introduced that last year. They did just revamp the skating engine too, so that feels a lot more crisp, I would say. The expansion draft is something that just came in last year, and that's been fleshed out really well. They've added a whole new feature called Fog of War to franchise mode, so you actually have to employ scouts to get reads on how good players are, or whether they're busts or what have you.
Right.
I mean, some of these modes have existed in the past, but everything's been... Everything has gotten some new features that to see it all happen at once is pretty remarkable.
So it's basically, it's like hit a boiling point, basically. All this stuff has been kind of brewing over the past few years, and at this point it's now ready.
Oh, yes.
Awesome.
So I will maintain that if you haven't bought a hockey game in years, or if you're just an aspiring fan who wants to learn about the game, then... this is a good time to do it, because even if you're just learning, EA partnered with Hockey Canada to do a training camp mode to teach you how to play hockey. And so whatever position you want to learn, it's in there. So, yeah, they didn't just make a game for people who already knew how to play hockey or already knew how to play EA NHL hockey. This is a game that you can break in with.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes.
A lot of these sports games have come kind of unapproachable at this point.
Yeah.
Glad to see that.
They're not falling into that trap.
Yeah. All right. So what about you, dude, Brandon?
Well, I have officially finished the main story of Valkyria Chronicles 4. That doesn't mean I'm done, though, because there's still some content I still need to go through. More squat stories. There's some other things that open up after you finish the main campaign. But damn, that game ends just perfectly. it really does. It was, and it ends on like a really emotional note, too. Very much like the way that the first Valkyria Chronicles game did. But it's fantastic. And so I'm going to be starting writing my review tonight. And hopefully I'll have it done before the end of the week. Well, next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff to go through. Things that they did that improve on the first game. Still some, there are some small issues with some animation stuff that they did that they could have improved on, but I'll be getting into all that later. Suffice to say, though, this game actually has, much like with the first Valkyria Chronicles, this game has some things it wants to say, and it says them pretty well. But... So, like, other than that, I mentioned before, but I started playing Super Mario Odyssey again, and haven't really stopped, because it's impossible not to. But playing that game after you've played through it before. I will say, you go through it the second time around, there are definitely things that you'll find that you didn't see during the first playthrough. But also, let's be honest, no matter how many times you play that, the WTF factor never really disappears. But that's pretty much what I've been playing. So what about you, Chris?
Yeah, so I have been continuing to play Astrobots. I finished the second world. And that game still continues to be really quite good. And the bosses are actually really, really nice. They kind of feel like, I'll say, like Super Mario Galaxy's bosses, where they're kind of these big, huge bosses that you kind of had to, you know, do whatever you had to do to beat them, but they're kind of like this huge imposing force. The first one has a really cool kind of set piece stage. It's on top of a building, and the design for the roof is the PS1, like the top of that shell.
Nice.
And I guess the big sort of circular disc cover is sort of a helicopter pad. Hmm. But it's a really cool setting. But the bosses are kind of all about body horror. Hmm. So with the first one, you fight a giant gorilla robot, and you're basically wailing on his teeth and breaking them and ripping them out of his face. It's like, oh, this is fucked up. But it's super cute at the same time, in a way that works pretty well. But once you start thinking about it, it's really fucked up.
Hmm.
The second one is kind of an octopus in a volcano. And so he is kind of creating these like fire ghost sets, and your controller has a water gun on it. So you're able to just shoot that onto the fire ghosts and take them out.
Hmm.
But at the key point where you do damage to him, he shoots this this like flaming rock at you, and you have to use the water gun to cool it off.
Hmm.
Then you throw it, and you throw it in his fucking eye. On the second one, you throw it in his other eye, and then you just bust him in the face with the third time. And at the end, you kind of hook up a hose to his mouth, and then just fill him up with water, and he goes fucking flying around off the volcano. It's like, this is fucked up shit you're doing to this guy.
So on Let's Weekend, we talked about this game Chiller, and I almost feel like this is the natural progression of that.
Yeah, it's a very cutesy game, but yeah, it's still a really fun game. And after you beat the first boss, you open up the ship itself that you're kind of rebuilding. After each boss fight, you get a big piece of it back. And once you're in there, it has a gacha machine that you spend your coins on. So it's sort of a kind of a helicopter machine, you're kind of using the touchpad to set the vertical and horizontal distances to pick up a ball out of the machine. And there's some bombs in there. Which occasionally actually work out in your favor, because it will blow the balls around, and sometimes they'll drop one in the hole.
Mm.
But those are all like little diorama toys, and there's like 7 collections that are sort of these different environments that you play around in throughout the game that you're just trying to fill those out, and you can kind of just spawn them up as like a VR hologram to hang out in. And it's like a little platforming playground for Astrobot to explore a little bit. The base one, like every robot you rescue out of each level, is in that ship. And so they will hang around with you. If you run around them, they will sort of follow you around. There's like a piano kind of thing, like a big in the ship, but there's also a bunch of platforming and slides and such that they'll fall around in. It's just a little fun place to just mess around, but so far that game has been really quite good.
It's a VR game that's kept you coming back, so
yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's one of the best platformers I've played in a few years. But yeah, I've also been trying out some other PSVR stuff. I played a bit of Static, which is the puzzle game that essentially the whole premise is your hands are stuck inside this machine. Which is just you holding the DualShock 4.
Yeah.
And as you touch the different buttons, it does things on the machine. You're trying to figure out how to solve all the puzzles that are on it to ultimately beat it.
Hmm.
And so, like, the initial one, like, all the face buttons would move this, like, Pipe Mania kind of puzzle on the side.
Hmm.
And the other side, move this little holder, and you had to pull out this connector piece for the power cord. And plug it in sort of stuff. And, yeah, it works really well. I did have a little bit of weird tracking stuff, which I think I had some issues with that initially and just caused it to go weird, where the controller would just be on the side of my body instead of in front of me, which made it a little bit hard to see what I was doing, but eventually it worked out. But yeah, I think the other one I played is the MLB Home Run Derby VR game, which just has three stadiums in it, and you're kind of swinging a Move controller to try to hit the ball out of the stadium. It doesn't do like a traditional Home Run Derby like tournament sort of thing. It's all just single player. You get one round, you try and get your best score, all that. Which that the tracking was a little bit weird. I think I had the like chair in the way of the camera a little bit. So after every pitch, it would move to the left slightly. So by the end of like my second round I was playing, I was facing behind, away from the TV.
Whoops.
It's like, this is weird. And by that point I had enough of it, so I just quit out and was like, all right, I'll do something else. But yeah, some good stuff there. Also been playing some more Forza Horizon 4, kind of just farting around in it. So this week they're doing the winter season, which means things don't control as well when you're doing some of the speed traps and all that sort of stuff. The Forzathon weekly challenge is annoying. So the first three are not too bad. The third one, I think, is just do three cross-country races, which isn't too bad. But then the fourth one that you have to do to finish it is get 7 million score points in a off-road vehicle. That's a lot. Yeah, it's basically means that I'm only going to be in my off-road vehicle for the next couple days, just screwing around trying to get that going. But yeah, it's not a fun goal.
No,
it's the off-road vehicles are not as fast as any other, so it's like, okay, I'm not doing any speed traps or anything like that for a little while. And I guess I could do races with it, but it's a lot easier to do them in just the open world.
Yeah.
Especially if you get some of the big fields they have there, where you got lots of jumps and such to get the multiplayer going pretty good. But, yeah, that game's okay. Yeah, I downloaded Red Dead Redemption just to try it out again before the second one comes out. See if it's actually working well this time, or if it still looks like crap.
Still looks like crap.
I haven't tried it yet. I just set it to download last night, yeah. So I didn't have a chance to start it up. But, yeah, so far that's been pretty much it.
All right.
Lee? Unlike Chris there, I stopped playing Forza Horizon. That game sucks. And it's kind of shocking to me to go from Forza Horizon 3, which is like my favorite racing game of all time, to this piece of shit. But it's absolutely a piece of shit. And the reason for it is because everything in the game is not as fun as it was in the previous game. There's some cool stuff like the Forzathon live events are kind of neat, but it's just recycled material over and over and over again. And if you don't get enough people to actually do them with you, it just becomes an experience and frustration.
And it's all the same places too.
Yeah.
Like, so I did like one where it goes by that castle and you have to get the long jumps. And then after it's like, hey, go get like 150 jumps.
Yeah,
there's one time where I had just like three people.
Over and over and over.
Oh, we got three people to get 150 jumps. It's like a lot of little dune jumps. So it's not too bad, but it took a lot longer than it would if more people stayed on.
Yeah, and the game is implemented well, but like it's one of those games that I've been sort of on this rant lately, and obviously I haven't been talking to you guys, so you haven't heard it, but I think there's really something to be said for these game companies that don't know how to iterate what they're doing. And so then they just kind of throw some shit at the wall and hope it sticks. And the Forza Horizon 4 feels very much like it has Assassin's Creed syndrome, which was like, if after you got through with like, I think it was like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, you started realizing, holy shit, they're not doing anything new. And then they're just adding in shit to add in shit because they need to justify putting this out. And Horizon 4 is very much like that. And the main driver for me for not enjoying it is that they completely fucked up the gameplay loop, which you guys heard me rant about two weeks ago. I now have gotten an achievement for something like, I think it was either 100 or 150 cosmetic items, which I give no fucks about. I don't care if my character has fucking 15 pairs of shoes. I didn't buy a Forza game to play dress up. I bought it because I wanted to race fucking cars. And they have diluted the gameplay loop so much with these cosmetic items, it doesn't even – it literally has me not even wanting to log in because the rest of the game is repetitive and it's not fun. Like the idea of Forzathons and or Forzathon Live and, you know, being out there and playing with random people and everything is really, really cool. The problem is that all of the stuff that you're doing is not remotely unique. Just like Chris was saying, it's just recycling the same things that you've already done by yourself in single player. Like there's nothing new here.
Yeah. It very much feels like Destiny's public events, except with those, you have a good chance of getting some drops out of it. So you get some potential better gear and such and XP that actually means something. And whereas in Forza, you're not really likely to get that much.
No, and you get these Forza points, which can, you know, the stuff just kind of gets handed out, and then it becomes, okay, so what could I use these for? Oh, it looks like the stuff that's in the Forzathon this week is not anything I'd really want to buy, so let me just hold on to them. Like, they literally have set it up to where there's just no engagement, and part of it for me is that there's no engagement because they screwed up the way the actual fundamental way the game progresses you works. They completely fucked it up. Like, it used to be you just had points that you would put in that would give you like skill scores, bonuses, and stuff like that all across all of your cars. Now they have it set up where you have to put those bonuses into each car. They obfuscate a lot of ways to get cars. And just, again, it just really feels like they didn't know what to do and they had to put out a game. And so they just added a bunch of systems. Now, Britain itself and the UK and all the places that you're driving through is actually beautiful, but that's to be expected. But I never in a million years would have imagined that I would have gone from being like Forza Horizon 3 is the best racing game I've ever played to what the fuck did I just waste my money on with Forza Horizon 4?
It's a game that's meant to be endless, and that's where it kind of loses a lot of its fun because you don't feel like you're progressing.
Yeah, there is no.
It's only good if you're, I guess, you have a group of friends and you're just going to go fuck around.
Yeah, and even then, and I'd even argue even with that is that because they sort of designed it to be endless, and I think you're absolutely right, it doesn't feel like there's any progression. And then when you do actually make some kind of progression, instead of being rewarded for that, you're given like a pair of shoes or fucking hat and shit like that. Like,
it's like if I have this the streams up, you know, getting the influence, then I get back and I have, you know, 80 wheel spins, and it's like, that's going to take fucking forever.
Yeah.
Even with the skipping, it's like, it should let you just do like 10 at a time or something. Like,
and you know what's funny about that too is that when you do that, I think it's like one out of every either two or three spins is a cosmetic item instead of something else. And it's just like, I don't know what the point of that was. Like, if it was more robust, like the social aspects, then I think you could make a case for why it's really important to have a unique avatar and everything else like that. But all the characters are ugly. All the pieces of clothing are ugly. The only thing that's really fun as far as customizing the way the game works is your car horns. Like, I got the Killer Instinct theme as my car horn, which is great. And I've got another one that sounds like turning on a warp engine. Like, that's cool. But that also applies to the game. And
you don't exactly honk much.
Yeah, exactly. But at least it's an upgrade for your car as opposed to here's the 18th pair of shoes that I've got that nobody's going to be able to see.
Yeah.
On this ugly fucking avatar. So, yeah, so I quit playing that. I just finished God of War last night, and that was a fucking stellar experience. I feel like it sort of lost some steam at the end because they throw some stuff in there to kind of, I think, sort of extend the hours of the gameplay. Like, they have those Muspelheim trials and then like this Area of Mist where you can basically grind and get the best armor in the game. I kind of feel like that stuff should have been cut out. But otherwise, I mean, it was a solid 9.5 game. I was really, really impressed with it. So now I'm just kind of in the middle of trying to figure out what I'm going to play next. I'm not sure. It's definitely not going to be Forza Horizon 4, though.
Probably won't be Assassin's Creed Odyssey either.
No, it won't, and we'll get into that too. It's also not going to be the Mark of the Ninja remastered because Clay pulled some absolutely disgusting shit that got under my skin more than it should have, I think. But I just feel like they sort of took advantage of their player base to make a quick buck. And I think that's something that we're going to start seeing on. We'll discuss that later in the show, but it's something that's actually starting to actively discourage me from buying things on my Switch. So we can get into that when we jump into the news.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we'll get to first up this week. We have Soul Calibur 6 coming out on Friday.
Yep.
I'm not gonna be able to get this at launch. So if anybody gets it, let me know and how it is. It's coming out. The first character, DLC character Tira, is going to be available at launch, which is bullshit. But not new for Namco Bandai. They did that with Eliza. Pisses me off, but anyway. So that's coming out. Red Dead is still a little ways away. So
yeah, it's, let's see, comes out, I think, the 28th?
Yeah, a week
26th.
After. Yeah.
26th, okay.
So, yeah, that's what everybody's waiting for, it seems.
It's next Friday. It's,
yep.
So you'll have the weekend to get all your Western on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So apart from that, I guess some news from CD Projekt. They showed off 37 minutes of gameplay of Thronebreaker.
Yep.
Which is the big Gwent.
Originally going to be the campaign mode for Gwent.
Yeah.
But it became so big that they just decided to make it its own game.
Yeah. And, it looks good. It's exactly what you would expect it to be. And, this is taking place before the first game. So, yeah. You got, you're playing as Queen Maeve. So,
yeah. It looks good.
Oh, yes. It really does. Usually I don't get into these kind of card battle type games, but this one looks really, really good. Mm-hmm. I guess
Gwent
it's the story.
Itself is a really well designed game, so
yeah. But I guess, Gwent, like the whole just standalone element of it didn't really keep me interested. But I think having the story to go alongside it probably will. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. That's coming out later this month on the PC, and the console's going to be out in December. So yeah. It's another good one from CD Projekt Red, it looks like. So, yeah. Nobody said, not much else to say there. Just, if you haven't tried it, worth checking out.
I hope those guys don't let me down. Like, all of these companies that I really, really like are just putting out shit I can't stand. And so, I'm just like, well, please don't let Cyberpunk be bad. Please. Like, I've literally been on this show for like 2 years filleting The Witcher 3. Like, don't. Just don't fuck up.
I think they got your back. Don't worry. even this card battle stuff that they've been doing has actually been done really well. So I'm not really worried about CD Projekt Red, to be honest. So let's move on to finally, officially, the PlayStation Network ID change is going to happen.
Yep.
Yay.
Oh, so much for the PSX theory.
Yeah.
I think it's just rolled into beta.
Yeah, it's going to be part of the preview program they're going to be doing pretty soon.
Yeah, that preview program that you have to sign up for every single time, and you'll never actually get in.
Sign up every time. Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, well, I've signed up for the preview program, and
they
never
don't want
been
Canadians. Picked. No Canadians allowed.
Apparently, yeah. So, I have to put my rant hat on here for a moment because, Sony, this is not how you do betas. Seriously, this is not how you do it. If you want actual feedback, let people in. These are the people who want to be in there. These are probably your most technically minded, passionate fans. These are the people who basically don't mind if your PS4 throws up an error every now and then, as long as they can report the problem and figure out what's happening and make the PS4 better. Make the PS4 great again, Sony. Yeah, I went there.
I feel like you have to have Sony get out of arrogant Sony mode before they do that. I'm really, really curious what's going to happen going into the PS5 because this really strikes me as Sony after the PlayStation 2. And I think just based on everything that I'm seeing and their sort of lack of maneuverability, I really think Microsoft, and particularly Microsoft and Nintendo, are gonna punch them in the mouth very, very hard next generation.
Yeah, yeah. So that's happening.
Yeah. See, first change is gonna be free. After that, it's $10 for regular PSN members, $5 for PS Plus.
Yeah. Oh. Which is in line with Microsoft.
Yeah. And that'll be out in full next spring.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, if you did have the T-Bagger 69 PSN ID and you're kind of ashamed of it now, now you can change it.
Yeah, just T-Bagger is fine. So. You don't have to say you're the
69. Do you guys realize how insane that is that we're sitting here, like, reporting that you can change your fucking username as something that is miraculous?
Alter table.
I mean, just really?
This should be hard, but apparently Sony doesn't understand databases or something.
I imagine their current network people are pissed at the people that set it up for making this so fucking hard, because they specifically mentioned, like, yeah, if you do that, you're going to potentially see some issues in older games.
It just reeks of not thinking about scalability at all, which is when you look at the way that Sony, again, going back to the PlayStation 3, they thought they had so much of this in the bag, and they were not ready to compete on the level that Microsoft showed up with. And it's sort of what this stuff feels like. Again, like this is a 2007 problem, not a 2018.
Yeah, but well, that's the big issue is Sony is stuck with architecture that's from 2007. So and then they haven't been willing to just dump everything. Although, I suspect now that they've sunset the PS3 and they're basically looking to get rid of the Vita as soon as possible, that's probably going to change. Well, at least hope so. Anyway, be able to get rid of some of that legacy stuff. But yeah. So. That's a thing. It's kind of interesting the way they're doing it, though. It's you're going to have the ability to choose whether you want to have your old ID like maintained, so people will know like who you actually are. That's a dumb idea.
Just send messages out to the people that you care about.
Why new name, complicate who dis? Things? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Just like text message. Who dis? Who dis?
Basically.
Bitch, you know who I am. I'm fucking...
And that setting is basically a one-time setting, so if you decide that you want to have your friends know what your old ID was, you can't change it back. Because Sony...
Yep. I don't know, man. I remember years ago, back when I was working for AT&T, and we went to the Microsoft launch party for some fucking phone they were doing, and... I got like 5 years of Xbox Live for free during this thing because they were asking questions. And apparently in this entire room of like tech nerds, I was the only guy that played fucking video games. Like, why are you guys trying to front? Like, you guys are sitting here loading bullshit on phones. You really trying to tell me you've never fired up a fucking game of anything? All right, whatever. So, but like one of the things that they were asking about was, what's some of the craziest Xbox Live names you've ever seen? And a couple of people brought in, and the one that got me 5 years, or the two that got me 5 years of Xbox Live were Urban Turban 911, which I did. I played a guy named Urban Turban 911. It was hardcore. We played another guy named a Hefty Moose, which I still to this day think is a fucking fantastic name. And there used to be a guy that we used to run into in Halo all the time whose name was About 20 Ninjas. So if you got killed, it would be like you got shot by About 20 Ninjas, or you got stabbed by About 20 Ninjas.
Yeah, like, I had a friend when we were playing the original Metal Gear Online on PS2. He would just set his name, because it wasn't really tied to any account stuff, but just it was like a baby. So it'd say, you know, Lee killed a baby.
Yeah, we did funny it. Shit with that. Because, yeah, we were changing names back I think it was on the 360. Like, I remember at one point, it was after the economy crashed. At one point, I changed my name. I changed it back, though, real quick. But me and a friend of mine changed our names to A Bad Economy and High Gas Prices. So if you're getting killed, you're getting killed by the bad economy and high gas prices. And, but, like, again, that was something we were doing in, like, 2008, 2009, and... Way to go, Sony.
Yeah, they're just figuring it out now. I don't know.
There's some guy in their fucking network admin who's like, wait, we can do this?
you think they'd figure it out. I mean, you got to know what the alter table SQL statement is. You're using it all the time. But anyways. So we got more news. Borderlands 2 coming to PSVR in December.
Yeah, this seems pretty good. I've been kind of jonesing for a loot game for VR. And nobody seemed to really make any original ones, so this seems like a pretty good alternative.
Yeah, it's Borderlands 2. I mean, it's pretty solid to begin with. So.
Yep. There's a couple weird things about it. So it doesn't have any of the DLC in it for some reason. No co-op, which I'm fine with. I've only played Borderlands solo, so...
Borderlands is only cool in co-op, Chris. If you haven't played it that way, you totally should. It makes the game completely different.
Oh, yeah, all those people still playing Borderlands.
Actually, there are a few, Corey.
Yeah, I'm fine. I play Diablo solo. I don't give a shit about playing with other people.
All right.
I want all the loot for myself. You know, I know this instance is loot and all that, but... they add a sort of slowdown mode called Banff Time, as in badass mega fun time, which slows down the speed of the game, gives you sort of easier ability to make, accurate shots for that stuff. Let's see, they changed some of the abilities because some of them were focused on co-op. They mentioned Maya's res ability, which is called Empathy. Mm. Causing phase lock to deplete half of your current health, damaging enemies based on how much health you lost, and double healing during Banff time. It has move control support, no aim support. They cite vehicles as a reason for not doing that, which there's still a stick on there.
Yeah.
So they could definitely do it, but otherwise it seems like it'll be okay. And you can steer cockpit mode.
Yeah.
For the vehicles with the move controller. So that'd be interesting to see. But also, it's $50.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how this actually plays. It's like a full first-person type game with full freedom of movement in VR. I don't know how long you're going to be able to take that before wanting to throw up.
Skyrim worked pretty well.
Yeah, but it had that teleport mechanic, didn't it?
Yeah, but you also had direct movement if you wanted. It was up to you, though. I found it a lot faster to get around with the teleport. So once you got over encumbered, it was just all these little quick hops you could do to get around pretty fast.
Yeah.
Despite being encumbered. So,
yeah.
I imagine it still do pretty well because people like Borderlands too.
Yeah.
And there's some good bundles for people to get in now if they want, especially with the move controllers. But yeah, that's out December 14th, and sort of alongside that, they're celebrating the 2-year anniversary of PSVR, so they announced a couple other things to go along with it. Tetris Effect is on pre-order right now.
Yep.
10% off, so you can get it for $36 instead of the full 40.
Yep.
Also comes with a theme, some avatars, and a soundtrack sampler. Mm. That includes that song from the trailer.
Mm. Cool.
There's an Astrobot Rescue Mission demo that's coming out on Tuesday. So people can check that out if they do not have the game yet.
Yeah.
And I think Firewall Zero Hour is also coming with some DLC this week. That'll be good for those people.
Yeah.
And Megalith is launching on January 8th. That is a MOBA, first-person MOBA. The weird thing is they have pre-orders going to be launching November 13th with a free trial alongside it, which it's going to have a discount. And the weird thing they say here is pre-order at PlayStation Store to immediately unlock all Titans during the trial. Get exclusive skins, an avatar pack, and an additional Titan for launch. So it's like it's going to be more of a beta, I guess, than a demo.
Yeah.
But still, some good stuff. They got a bunch of stuff on sale. I'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, so the VR for PlayStation 4 seems to be flushing out pretty well.
And
I'm noticing that they haven't really revved the hardware, and the one thing that they really do need to address is the tracking. That's that's probably the weakest point of,
I think that resolution will come with next gen.
Yeah,
obviously. I don't think they're going to overhaul that stuff anytime soon, just for the sake of not, you know, stepping on people's toes.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense that they're doing all these bundles right now. I've got to clear out some inventory.
Yeah.
So you can definitely tell the next gen is probably right around the corner.
Yeah, I imagine hopefully we'll have that ready for launch. If not, just make it BC with PSVR. First two models, and that'll be fine.
Yeah. So, all right. So in news that absolutely nobody's going to care about, the latest Xbox update brings back Avatars.
This is when I realized that wasn't available until now. I had that for a month or two now.
Yeah.
I just made mine, and I was like, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
None of your stuff from the previous Avatars stuff carries over? Nope.
They're all
completely over.
So of course it doesn't. Jesus Christ.
It seems like...
Wait, what a way to make people not give a fuck. Way to go, Microsoft.
Yeah, I bring this up and people are like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Because it's not tied to games, so you're not earning new stuff like you did last time around?
Nope. They're just there in the corner.
Just to sell stuff to I don't know who.
Yeah.
Spying this. Seems like a waste of their time instead of making the OS better.
Yeah.
Because it sucks.
Yeah, this is the stuff that they got the intern working on.
Yeah.
Basically. So
it was like when we got that weird shooter for free that was from interns. Yeah. XBL. It's like, yeah, we'll do Avatars.
Yeah. So, anyways. In something that's a little bit more interesting, though, Microsoft is also rumored to be doing their Project X Cloud streaming service.
Okay. Yeah. Not too much in the way of details.
I'm curious where they're going with this, to be honest.
Yeah. I'll tell you where they're going. This is Revision 2 of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm thinking.
So this be like double the price?
No. What I'm thinking is going to happen is you. It's just something that's going to be included in Game Pass, and what you'll be able to do is rather than having to do the whole download thing, you start your game streaming. If you decide, I want this, I'll download it, and you can play it while you've got the download going. And your saves, because Microsoft is smart and actually does their saves in the cloud, saves are not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
Imagine that, eh?
As long as the games don't bug out.
Yeah.
Then that save overwrites your original save.
Yeah. But, you know.
Microsoft, I don't know. Microsoft's got, they have a lot of experience with cloud-based saving. You have Azure, you have everything else like that. Like, if there's actually a company that's going to get this right, it'll be Microsoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I certainly wouldn't fucking leave it to Sony. Fucking, that was Sony. Probably blow
I'm kind of referencing more. Steam game I was playing for a while, and then I just loaded up. It's like, hey, we're starting over again. It's like, wait, what? I put like 100 hours into you to build up to where I was, and now I'm starting over. You quit out, and it uploads that. It's like, well, there goes all my progress. I have no reason to play this game anymore.
Yep.
That's why I hate the instant upload stuff. That's why I like Sony's better, because it takes a bit.
Yeah.
So you got some time, like, if you fuck up, you're like, oh, I'm quitting out, so I'm going to re-download that original save. We'll try this again.
You'd think, though, that Valve would have sorted that out by now. It's like,
you'd think.
Yeah, you'd think. But no, that actually has happened to me before, so.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I always hate losing saves.
Yeah, you got to have some, like, verification going on before you upload an empty save.
Yeah.
But,
well, it's not even that. It's like the game bugs out. And it's like, oh, hey, you're here for the first time. Let's see how to play the game. It's like, no, I've played this a bunch.
Yeah, but not really.
I can't fix this.
Yeah,
there's no way to fix it unless I were just constantly backing up my entire PC.
Yeah,
I could just dig into that, and I don't do that much.
This X Cloud thing looks pretty good. I kind of like the approach they're going for, where they're actually using like componentized Xbox hardware in there. It looks interesting.
Focused on mobile for right now.
For right now, yeah. So you'll be able to play Xbox One games on your mobile phone.
Good way to make sure I don't have any interest in this.
Yep.
I like attaching a mobile phone to my controller.
Yeah, or mobile phone shells with controller grips. Those are things that
they also have just native like buttons on the tablets and such.
Yeah.
Which also is not going to be fun.
No.
Seems like their mobile stuff is going to be, let's see, working on 4G.
Yeah.
They're hoping to get up to 5G whenever that happens.
Yeah, that's going to start rolling out next year, but don't expect the whole country to get that anytime soon.
And see, the test is at 10 megabits per second right now, which I think is a little bit much for what I can do.
10 megabits on 4G? Yeah, depending where you are, yeah.
I'm talking about just normal internet.
Yeah. I see. I've got 60 here, so I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm curious where this stuff leads with people running up against data caps.
That's the big issues. Data caps, not only mobile data caps, but also
your
main ISP.
Home internet. Yeah. I mean,
but that's not a Microsoft problem. That's a network infrastructure problem.
That will be their problem when they try to convince people to ignore that.
It will be when it becomes, all right, well, I would buy your stuff. I would stream this. I would do all of this, but I can't because now, you know, my ISP is going to charge me, you know, $20 for 100 more gigs. You know?
Yeah. No, it's a chicken and egg thing, right? It's like somebody's got to push before anything gets done. So I kind of see that as where that's going.
Yeah. Well, the funny part is this would be something I'd be down for, but I just don't see how I can make it work in my house because we run up against our data cap regularly because it's me here. When I work at home. My wife works at home. My wife streams everything. My son streams everything. And I'm not about to be like, all right, well, baby, you can't watch a show you want to watch because I need to download a video game. Like that, it's just not going to happen. So.
Like I said, this is where the Game Pass ends up going, I think. That's what's going to happen.
You know what's funny is I was really skeptical about Game Pass. And in fact, because I think it's a cool system. I don't think it's worth the $10 a month, but I think that's because I still buy games. Mm-hmm. But like I really kind of looked at it in a new light when my son has a friend who has Game Pass. And so his folks just basically said, look, you can choose like two. And of course, they're not like looking for discounts. They're just, you know, the average parents who aren't, you know, going like, oh, I can get Gamers Club and I can, you know what I mean? Like they're just regular people. They're like, oh, this game is on sale or maybe we could get this or whatever. He apparently made a deal with them and said, you don't have to buy me any games, just do Game Pass and I'll get like 100 games. And then especially with Microsoft's first party stuff being in there, that's like all that he was going to get. And he's totally happy with it because it's, you know, it's the Netflix of games, essentially, and he can just grab whatever he wants. And I hadn't thought about it that way because I would just be like, I'm going to buy what I want to buy. Like, I have I have no real reason to rent. But looking at it from that perspective, like, okay, for somebody who has a lot more limited options or anything, this is actually kind of a real cheap way to let them play whatever they want. And, normally I try to look at that kind of stuff and be like, well, this is what the average consumer could do. But that was, I guess, sort of a blind spot for me. And then, of course, I start finding out how many people are actually using it that way. And it's kind of fucking ironic because – out of all of the companies that you would expect that they would have like the back catalog to really do something like this, it's not Microsoft.
No.
You know? And so it's kind of shocking to me that nobody else has jumped into this pool because there's a lot of money to be made. Just doing that on-demand stuff. And I can't imagine why Sony's not in on this. I can't. Well, yes, I can because they started Sony. But like same thing with Nintendo. Like this is what their online system should be. It should be like Game Pass, and the fact that it's not is what a horrible fucking miss.
Yeah.
Well, Sony's starting to do that now.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, Lee, if you have Game Pass, you do. So, but you also bought Horizon 4.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I'm not doing that.
So, yeah.
Well, see, you know what the other part of it is, though? Like, well, again, I mean, I had no reason to believe that Horizon 4 was going to suck. Yeah. And, boy, I'll tell you what, this week has been like the reminder to me that even if there are companies that I really like and I really like their products, like, they really should just eat a dick. because I have like, no, seriously, like this shit with Forza Horizon 4 has really gotten under my skin. I was going to kind of jump in the pool with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I'm not doing that because all the fucking micro, I've never seen such a heavily monetized single player game as Odyssey. And then with what Clay did with Mark of the Ninja, where they, so I'll just say this right now and get it out of the way. So Mark of the Ninja is one of my favorite games of all time. Like by far, it is a perfect stealth game. And it's interesting. It's a lot of fun. The mechanics are fun. It's a great game. And so when they finally announced that remaster, I was like, I am on board day fucking one. Of course I'm going to rebuy one of my favorite games of all time. And they even went like a step further and they were like, if you own the game on the Xbox 360, and you have the DLC, we're going to give it to you for free. And if you don't own the DLC, it's just $5. Like, man, this is really great. You guys are doing some awesome shit for the fans. You know what? Because you guys are doing this, I'll tell you what, I'm totally going to go ahead and buy the version on Switch. It's a 6-year-old game. There's no reason it should run poorly on the Switch, right? Oh my fucking God. What was I thinking giving this company the benefit of the doubt? No, when in actuality the game runs worse on the Switch than it did on the 360, and it doesn't have a bunch of the new assets that were supposed to be in the fucking remaster. And they didn't tell anybody that the game was going to run at 60 frames, or excuse me, at 30 frames a second. They just kind of released it. And then when a bunch of people started asking them questions like, why does this game run like shit? They didn't respond. And then they finally responded like 2 days ago on their forums. And because people were expecting it to be a situation like Dead Cells, where, all right, we just got to get this thing out. We got to do this. You know, we need to get this out, and we'll patch it later. Well, Clay came out and said, yeah, we can't patch this. It would actually require us to rewrite the whole engine. So we went ahead and just put out a game that performed suboptimally, and we didn't tell you. And now we got your money. Fuck you. And so, yeah, I've gone from being a guy that was a huge fan of their games to being like, you know what? Like, just based on principle, I'm not ever going to buy anything from you again. Because – like the game, like normally, and the funny part is here I am. I'm a guy that always bitches at you guys about playing shit on PC. Playing games at 30 frames a second actually doesn't bother me that much. But for certain games, when that is the way the game should actually was like designed to play, like the original was 60 frames a second and actually has, you know, a window in which you're supposed to do moves and things like that, 60 frames a second is actually kind of important. And so I'm not going to like, and so the frustrating part for me is here it is. I gave you guys $20 for a game that I'm never going to play because it doesn't play nearly as good as the other versions that I have. Mm. And of course the fucking Switch has no refund option. So it's just like, all right, you dickheads got away with $20. Fucking Playground got away with like, I don't know, $80 for me. Like, yeah, because for a long time, I really did stick with the idea of like, I'm not going to pre-order shit. I'm not going to buy shit day one because I don't have time. Let them work out the kinks and shit. And here were two companies that I really, really liked, and I really liked their games. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And boy, that was a fucking mistake. And thankfully, I didn't make that mistake with Odyssey, with the bullshit that they put in there. Somebody did some fucking – some comparison about how much money it would take. Like, I don't know if any of you guys have actually seen the games, because I know you guys aren't really big Assassin's Creed fans, but the entire store in that game, it looks like the worst mobile store that you can imagine.
Yep.
In terms of like everything that they sell. And the big controversy that's been happening now, and it's been happening across forums and shit like that, has been they put in an XP boost in the game. Which basically doubles your XP gain. And there have been people that have come out and said, this is how the game should have been designed. And apparently it's not, from what I understand and what I've played, like the XP curve in the game isn't bad, but the XP boost seems to be there specifically for people that get about midway through the game and then they just can't stand the grind. Because the first half of the game, like the first 15 hours is really, really good. And apparently the last 15 hours are really, really good. The 30 in between them apparently make you want to kill yourself. Mm. And that's why a bunch of people are upset about the XP boost, because they're like, it seems to be like, okay, they get you going, they get you in with these 15 hours and it's awesome and you're really enjoying it and you're leveling. And then all of a sudden you just hit a wall. And once you do that, it's like, okay, you know, hey, you've already invested this money. What's $10 to, you know, kind of get through this? And I've been really shocked, like looking at all these forums and things like that, at the amount of corporate apologists there are for this shit. Like, because the thing that I'm noticing is and I'd love to get your input on this stuff, guys, because I think these people are all morons. They all seem to believe that this is happening because AAA titles can't ask more than $60 for the game. And I think that's legitimate. I do think that I think one of the reasons you see a lot of microtransactions is because you have studios that need to make more than that $60 offering price. But there are some fundamental issues with that. Like if you're not charging what you actually need to break even, then you're really bad at business. But the thing I wanted to ask you guys' opinion about, and this is what kills me, is that I see all these people on forums that are like, you know what, just charge me $70 or $80 and then take away the microtransactions. This is the video game industry we're talking about here. The minute that they can get you to pay $80 for a game, they're still going to have microtransactions in it, right? Like, I'm not crazy.
$60 needs to be the hill we're willing to die on.
Yeah.
Well, we've already lost that fight, frankly. The way it is right now, $60 base price. It's not the version you want to get anyway.
No, it's not.
You know, so at this point, your entry price is $80-$90 for a game.
Right. Or you end up in the position where you just wait a year and then the thing drops to $30 or $40. But then, and the thing about that is you have these same game companies screaming and whining that they can't make enough money, but then they do this shit and they price out people that would buy their stuff.
Yeah.
Then turn it down the production until you're under budget.
Yeah.
Then this is like kind of funny too. The XP boost stuff that's going on that you have to pay for in Assassin's Creed Odyssey. This is the same kind of stuff that you could go and buy pizza rolls and get XP boosts for. So you could pay $10 in the in-game store, or you could go to Walmart, pay $3, and get your XP boost and have pizza rolls as well.
Yeah.
And you know, when you got corporate stuff like this with cross promotion and product placements and stuff like that, you know, Ubisoft is making bank out
exactly.
of that deal.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're saying that they can't make money charging $60 is just complete and utter bullshit.
It is. And the thing is, it also points to the problem of, I think the core issue of this game, in my opinion, is it's too big. Like they have these like boilerplate quests that are out through the middle of the game that are just copy and paste. Mm-hmm. And if you take that out and you tighten up the gameplay experience, then you can't sell the XP boost. And there's a lot of people that are like, you know, there, and there's a lot of apologists that you see that are like, I've played the game and blah, 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 and it's great, and I didn't have to do an XP boost. Even Jason Schreier and some of the guys from Kotaku were saying that. And it's like, okay, that's fine if you guys are happy playing the game that way. But we're living in a time now where you have all of these companies that are trying to make their game be the end-all, be-all, the only game that you're ever going to play. And they keep filling it with more and more and more and more, but it's so inconsequential. Like, that's a big problem with Forza Horizon 4, is they tried to create a loop where they want you to keep coming back, but it's just having you do the same shit that got old in the first place. Yeah. And they're disguising that as something that is relevant content or is fun. And instead of having it be something that would make you come back, they tie it to, in Forza, they've tied it to a point system where it's like, okay, you need to do 8 of these events so you can buy a car. Now, you'll end up doing 8 things that you may not want to do. You may end up in groups where it's not fun and the stuff doesn't get done. But you're essentially at that point doing a chore to get whatever it is that you're trying to get. And I'm very familiar with this kind of shit because I play MMOs. And I know some of you guys do too. Like, this is – it's literally boilerplate MMO quest design shoved into a single-player game. And there doesn't seem to be a reason for it, except these companies have no idea how to actually be creative and put in hooks that would actually make people come back. And instead, it just becomes, let's just stuff it to the gills because that's going to be the best way. We're just going to overwhelm them with content. So then that leads to the budgets going crazy, you know, where you need 1,000 people to make this game. And it doesn't end up producing a better product whatsoever. It just makes one that's longer. And I think we're seeing the industry move more and more towards this. And I think it's really naive of gamers to think that if the prices of games got raised, that microtransactions would go away. We're talking about EA here. We're talking about Activision. We're talking about Ubisoft. And I don't even think Ubisoft is that bad or an egregious of a company. But these are companies, like, if you look at the way the storefronts for these things are, is they are literally designed to be a slot machine. That's all it is.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is, if you really want to know, one of the biggest issues with the AAA industry right now is the corporate culture.
The whole it's the idea of going for their, you know, their stocks, their the people that are supporting them that way, where they want more money.
Yeah.
Which means you have to put more money into the game, which means you put more bullshit in the game, and stuff like what Assassin's Creed has done with this game. And it kind of did it with Origins too, where it's a game with so much shit in it.
Yeah.
It's like, if you want post-game content, cut some of that shit out ahead of time.
Exactly.
Release that every couple weeks. Like, hey, here's some new stuff over in this area. You know, go do that. Instead of putting it up all up front, where then you're putting the onus on the player of trying to finish the game and level up, and it's like, well, if you can't get through all our bullshit, here's $10 to get a XP boost.
Okay. That you know what it is? Long. Everybody wants to be the next GTA 3. That's what
GTA.
No, they're all going for GTA Online. That's what they want to be.
Yeah.
But they want to be, because when GTA 3 came out, it basically reshaped the entire industry. And now that's basically everywhere, all the big AAA studios, that's what they want to aim for. They want to be the new AAA 3. That's,
yeah.
I mean, GTA 3.
I mean, I think that's legitimate, but I think the problem is that I don't think it works that way, because
it doesn't.
For a number of reasons, but the biggest one being that now at this point, it's a time factor. And that's what's so egregious to me about the XP boost, is that it's almost like they are acknowledging that they fucking made the game too big, and they're giving you a shortcut for it.
Yeah.
And that's the part that is so difficult for me to swallow, is like, so you want people to pay, you know, $60 for the game, and then because you made the middle so weak, you're going to give us the option to pay to move around it. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. And it's just the bloat that is the big issue. It's like, you don't have to spend that much money on the damn game. You don't have to put, you know, $50-100 million into the game if it's not making you money.
Right.
And that comes across in like the Ultimate Editions. I was looking at this. There's the Standard Edition, Digital Deluxe Edition,
seven
Gold Edition,
shit.
Ultimate Edition,
there is.
Digital. There's the Medusa Edition, Spartan Edition, and Pantheon Edition. Some of those are exclusive to the Ubisoft store, which, whatever. But it's like, also part of all of these at a certain point is the early access.
Yeah.
Where that's the thing that you do to like, hey, you know, you're such a big fan of this game, you can play it early if you spend, you know, $120.
Right.
Versus saying, hey, we want you to buy the game however you can, you know, spend $60 with us, put money into the game at all, and you get in early as a reward.
And think about this. They're going to get all this. Where is that money going to go?
Going
to go to, you know, the board of directors. It's going to go to the shareholders.
Yeah.
How
Some
much
of
that money
to paying for the team to stick around to keep working.
Yeah, how much of that money is actually going to go towards the actual developers?
Yeah,
it's not, and that's the dirtiest part about this, and that's the part of it that frustrates me so much when I'm talking to people on forums and things like that, is that there's this I don't know if it's just ignorance or like willful ignorance or what, but there's definitely an ignorance there to understanding how businesses actually work, because frankly we are especially now, we are in a time where you have companies that are making trillions and trillions of dollars off of labor, and they're not giving any of that money back to the people that are actually enabling their success.
Yeah.
And you know what? If that's all your business runs, fine. That's okay. But don't sit here. Be honest about what you're doing. Don't sit here and say that, you know, I mean, how many studios have we seen close down because the higher ups made stupid ass decisions? Look at THQ, where they decided they wanted to try and go after Wii money with a completely inferior product. And then they decided that the only way that we're going to get out of debt with this is Darksiders 2, which is a solid B game, needs to fucking sell 9 million copies.
Yeah. And then look at what happened at Telltale.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Telltale's a great example of a studio that was basically mortgaging one game for the success of another.
Yeah,
That didn't go so well.
If you remember the original Tomb Raider reboot back in, 2013, where it sold the best launch the franchise had ever had.
Yeah, and Square.
But they deemed it a failure because it didn't make up for the other games that failed.
Yeah.
They had to sell enough to make up for that. And that's sort of that, the whole thing like Netflix is doing, where it's like they're paying off their debt to get more debts that just has this whole hamster wheel of debt they're trying to go in. It's like, the only people you can put in money into in games that goes to the developers are like free-to-play indie games. Like Rocket League, you put money into that will go towards continued development for that team. Yeah. You know, you put more money into Fortnite, that'll give Epic this fuck you money where they can say, you know, we're not going to take our usual cut on Unreal Engine stuff. Or we'll have these events where, you know, the YouTube creators will sponsor certain things and you buy that and it gets some money to them. Like things like that, they can do, and you know, H1Z1, all these other free to play games, like that stuff all goes into them because they're the only ones really with the purse strings there.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's just remarkable to me that people think that microtransactions will go away, like the industry is some sort of altruistic thing. Like, look, once you turn that tap on. Or a better way to put it is the toothpaste is already out of the tube. You can't get it back in. They know that there are people that are willing to pay that money, and they're going to keep doing it. I mean, the fact that we have people that work at these companies now where their main job is monetization, I feel like there's always been a problem, particularly, I think it really kicked up last generation, where – video game publishers and developers were almost excessively toxic to the same group of people that they expected to buy their games and to support them. And it really reminded me of the way that the music industry couldn't deal with Napster back in the day. Like, do you guys remember when we would sit there and we watch millionaires like Metallica and Dr. Dre? Like, I'll never forget Dr. Dre sitting there saying, you are taking money or you are taking food out of my kids' mouths. Like, bitch, I have seen you in all of these fucking music videos. I actually do know how much you're worth. I know what your fucking garage looks like because you can't stop fucking talking about it. You're really going to try and tell me that you're having trouble fucking putting food on the table? Like, no. Like, that's a fucking completely stupid way to argue it. It should be, okay, I produce this product that has value to you, and I should be paid for it. That's a completely different conversation. And they could have that kind of conversation around these transactions if they said, look, we're putting this stuff in because we want to fund more things. But that's not why they're doing it. And I can't understand why the video game public as a whole seems to think that that's why this stuff is happening, as if it is their fault, the video game public's fault, that these companies don't know how to manage their own products. Like, I have never seen – like, you don't see anybody in the fucking music industry. There aren't fucking people on forums that are going, hey, man – we got to make sure Sony fucking gets their money because this record company might go out of business. Nobody fucking does that. You know, nobody's like, hey, Madonna's label's having trouble. We need to buy more albums, you know, or let me send them $5. Like this industry, I don't know what the fucking problem is with it. And I think it goes from the top down because you also have, and I'm a guy that works in software. There is more money to be made in software development that is not through games than there is in games. But these companies take advantage of people that love games, and get them into that thing and they just grind them the fuck out. And they do it with the same idea of like, well, you like what we're producing, right? And they seem to be doing the same thing to their customers. Like, well, you like what you're producing, right? Well, then why can't you spend an extra $20 a month on gambling with us with these fucking loot boxes that may or may not give you what you actually fucking want that we priced out of the game initially? And people are like super quick to line up for it. And I don't understand it. Like, and I think there's probably an overall topic that we could get into on a completely different podcast about doing things that are against your own self-interest, because that sort of seems like what this is. But it just baffles me, and I think it's probably just hitting me at the right time because I'm so frustrated about money that I've spent on developers that obviously don't seem to give a shit about their fans, and that's fine. But like, one of the things that's like – the other thing besides the Assassin's Creed thing that's bothering me is everybody seems to be rushing to put things on Switch that are poor ports – so that they can just cash in on it. Because for whatever reason, people that buy, maybe it's just the portability factor and people are just in love with the idea that I could take this anywhere, that these companies are putting out half-assed products on the fucking Switch. And then there's also a defense force for that. Like, guys, this is your fucking money.
Yeah.
Oh, it's partly because, well, it's two reasons. One is, you know, the Dunning-Kruger effect. where everybody on the internet thinks they're a fucking expert.
Yeah.
And number two, some people just really need to be a fucking contrarian.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they want the attention.
Yep.
It makes them think they're special.
Yeah, and there are a lot of people that are just they have more money than sense.
Oh yeah.
Stuff like, oh, this is my favorite game. I bought it 8 times already, but it's going to be coming to Switch. I'll buy that again.
Yeah.
And are like wondering why it's because I've said before, like, I don't use a Switch as a portable, so just being on the Switch isn't a selling point to me, but it is for a lot of people.
Well, I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Like,
and
I don't
then
like,
you get people
like,
that just harass developers, like, why isn't that on Switch? Like, people complain about Guacamelee 2 not being on Switch. And it's like, it's going to fucking come. They did that with the first game. That came out on PS3 and PS Vita, and then it came to Steam and Xbox and the Wii U and, like, all this. It's like, it's going to fucking come. The Switch is too big for people to ignore, just like, you know, when stuff releases on, like, Xbox One or whatever, Switch first, like, it's going to eventually come to everything else. Because they're indie, they want to make all the money they can and get it on everything is how they do that.
Yeah.
You know, well, like, telling people that is not the greatest idea.
Pat, is there, I assume there's some sort of monetization scheme in NHL.
That would be Hockey Ultimate Team. But that's just one
of
the many.
Is that just like the FIFA bullshit?
Card decks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Does it stop you from actually progressing? Or is there a stopgap in the game essentially where they force you into, you need to buy some shit?
No. If you want to avoid Hockey Ultimate Team entirely, you can. It's been in the game for years and I've never touched it.
I think EA's generally been pretty good about that stuff in their Ultimate modes. So just letting that stuff be. If you want to keep putting money into it, okay. It's just how you're going to spend your time.
Yeah. Well, some people really love the whole collecting card mechanic of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess that's an appeal for some people.
Where it tends to get to me is in those games, I mostly play Madden Ultimate, is it just kind of lists a bunch of events you can do. Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, what should I do here? I eventually have to like look at stuff and like, okay, the overall rating for the team that I'm facing in this one is around what mine is. So I guess I'll start there.
Yeah.
But it's like a sort of thing where if you're not there like day one, you're probably going to get a little bit lost trying to just figure out what all you can do.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise, if you don't want to do that, you can just play anything else in the game.
Hmm. Like, going back to the original point, I was just going to say World of Chell or Franchise Mode or Threes, none of that has any kind of pay component whatsoever.
Yeah.
So you can bypass that entirely.
Yeah, that would be NBA 2K you want.
Yeah.
That's where the... I was playing the free thing, the prelude thing they put out, which is sort of the first like intro part of the career mode. And like there's shit in there. It's like just looking at all the stuff you can spend money on. It's like it's fucking ridiculous. Because there's like a whole mode like the park where you can sort of hang around and challenge people to matches and such.
Yeah.
And there's like fucking scooters and bikes and shit in there. Like you can pay for specific animations for that stuff to get around. That's like the weirdest shit, especially when I was looking at the animations. Like, their hands are never on the bike handles.
It's like, oh my god, who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people that care that, like, even athletes play those games. There's one that plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers who people send him, like, messages talking shit to him. And he's always like, yeah, so what? I'm actually on fucking TV making money, so he doesn't fucking care.
Yeah, well, I'll cap it off with the fact that it's not like all doom and gloom at this point because we're starting to see, like in the case of Forza, I think Turn 10 is actually starting to get it. They've gotten a pretty severe backlash to Horizon 4 at this point, even though the reviews kind of contradict that. The community backlash has been pretty epic.
Yeah, that's something else the last thing I say because I don't want to keep moving. I'm becoming even more frustrated with review structures as a whole because it feels like so much of these reviews now are to sort of cheerlead this kind of thing. And I just remember I talked about it a couple weeks on the podcast, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, where it's like, I feel like I need to fucking actually start writing something to go and essentially call it like, here's what you didn't talk about. Like in all of the glowing reviews about Spider-Man, nobody mentioned that that game was a carbon copy of Arkham Asylum, like carbon.
I think there were. I looked up on Metacritic and I saw like 7 reviews, just the quip they had in there mentioned Arkham.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to read more, but the majority of like the major news outlets that I read the shit from, the game, you know, GameSpot, Kotaku, all those places, nobody mentioned that it was a copy and paste essentially with some different mechanics of the Batman games on the reviews.
Well,
I think they
probably said that, and then like, we don't have to keep mentioning this every single time we talk about the game.
Yeah, I think they probably should though. It's the same thing with Horizon 4. Like, you see all of these glowing reviews, like, but when you play the game for more than 3 hours, how hollow it is really apparent. And again, maybe I just haven't read enough of these random, because I don't go to Metacritic, but on like the major outlets that I saw, I only saw one group mention that the cosmetics were annoying, and it was in 2 sentences in like a 14 paragraph review. It didn't mention how any of that stuff actually affects the gameplay loop or anything else like that. And which is interesting based on what you're saying, Phil, because the reviews all seem to be pretty stellar for Forza Horizon 4, but the community seems to fucking hate it. So somebody's not being truthful, or they don't think it's that big of a deal. And maybe that's another discussion for another time, where the way that these games are reviewed are not the way that people actually play them. Like Ben Kuchera, when he went off, I think he was the first one that really like fired the shot about Assassin's Creed. He was like, this game is a lot more fun with the XP boost. And a bunch of people attacked him and said, well, maybe that's because you have to play an 80-hour game in a 40-hour time period. And then, but then as people started actually playing it and going, well, actually, no, the middle of this game is pretty bad. Like the front is great. The back is great. Like, this actually seems why this is here.
But it's a shit sandwich.
Yeah, exactly. And that sort of stuff kind of seems to get away, because then at that point, kind of like politics, people are just entrenched and they're like, this is my fucking game and this is my team and they didn't mean to fuck you in the ass, even though they did. Like, it's just, it's crazy to me. So anyway, I'm sorry. That's the last thing I'll say. Go ahead, Phil.
I was just going to say to add to that, it's like at turn 10, like we talked about it last week, they announced they're not doing a Forza 8 for next year. So, you know, they've broken that year cycle, and they've actually come to the realization that all of the crap that they pulled in Forza 7 really hurt the game.
Mm-hmm.
The progression, basically they're redoing that entire thing. So Forza 7 is effectively, I think, next month going to be relaunching with a completely new progression system. That whole prize crate mechanic is going to be gone. It's basically they're taking a mulligan on that game and giving it another year to breathe. I suspect that's going to happen with Forza Horizon 4. Because if they can strip out all of the bullshit that's in it, there's probably the core of a really great game in there.
Yeah.
And I think, maybe they'll do it. There's also the other example.
3 years between releases?
If they do that, yes, that's probably what I hope they do.
Yeah, imagine they'll want Forza 8 at launch for Xbox 2 and then Horizon the year after that.
Yeah, or if they separate them by 2 years per, that would be okay.
Yeah.
I also want to bring up Shadow of War, whose orcs were basically loot drops. That game got a complete overhaul as far as its progression went. It turns out if you basically make your key mechanic a loot drop, it kind of undermines your entire system. After they've gotten that, you know, that update out, that game's actually really good.
The funny part about that, though, is it's sort of like the bait and switch, because you're trying to get everybody in and rush them and get all the loot money that you can, and then when finally that falls off, you actually fix the game to the way that it was supposed to be. Like, you, if you're doing that as a developer and as a publisher, then you can't complain that people don't buy the game day one and they don't buy it for $60, because you have put it on display that you're completely willing to fuck them and then change the game a year later.
Yeah. Well, this was Warner, so I know. You know, I can't really.
Yeah. I just don't say that on the label.
Yeah. I always do find it weird when people are like, "Oh, this is their plan all along. Their plan is to have you think it's shit, and then come back and say, oh, okay, it's good again." It's
like, no, that's not really.
They thought that's the progression that would go for the sequel, And then people didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Destiny 2, and then it's like, okay, now everybody's like mostly on board now.
Yeah.
It's like they didn't want
to. Problem is, you know, even after you do that, it's really hard to get people back because, you know, that the perception is still there.
They got to keep working that much harder. And
I think that's the part that they're really not getting. Like, how much damage are you actually doing to your overall brand for this? Like, you guys know this. I've talked about it for a ton. I'm a huge Assassin's Creed fan. But just the stuff that they've been doing over the last few games have just really amounted to, we don't really know how to make anything new and we want to waste your time. Then they came out with Origins and it was like, okay, we're trying something new, but a good chunk of this is still a waste of your time. And then now this new game is like, yeah, we're basically carbon copying this. We're putting it in Greece. There's a lot more color. And then the middle is a complete waste of your time. Yeah. But guess what? You can pay to avoid it.
Like, yeah, the weird thing is that they made all those decisions before they knew if Origins was good or not.
Right.
So by the time that came out and people were like, yeah, this is pretty good. There's just a fucking shit ton of stuff here. Maybe too much. They're already on the way of finishing their game and like, well, fuck.
We've got to finish it.
Yeah. It's like, that's why the every other year would have been perfect for that game to have it wait until next year to come out.
Yeah. And I think that's also a conversation we should definitely have at some point is I think fatigue at this point is real. There are so many options for your dollar and for your time that when you have a company like Ubisoft basically building in a paid shortcut because their game is too big, like this is something that you're going to have to evaluate at some point.
Yeah.
Like I'll tell you what, people can talk shit about Call of Duty all they want. As far as multiplayer and everything else, that I have not played a cleaner, more straightforward campaign than the one for the first Modern Warfare for Call of Duty 4. It was 6.5 hours. It had no filler. It was fucking whiz bang the entire way. It was one of the best single player campaigns I've ever played because there was no fat to it whatsoever. And that's the kind of stuff that I wish more companies would do. But it just seems to be like, well, we hit this point. Now we got to throw something else in. And it's just like, again, like these boilerplate things to waste time. It just keeps going on and on and on. And I think if we see this continue into next generation, you're going to see the not the market shrink, so to speak, but I think you're going to see sales shrink because people just don't have enough time.
Yeah. That's kind of why I like Sony's open world stuff of the past couple of years where it has stuff to extend it, like the side quests and the collectibles and all that, but if you just mainline it, you have a pretty good experience, and if you want to stay on for more, they have it there. Yeah. And they don't try to, you know, gouge you for, you know, endless series of quests and XP boosts and all this stuff. They might put out an expansion or whatever, but otherwise, there's not really a ton of fluff in those games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, all right, so let's wrap that discussion there, because we had a couple of more stories that we'll just tick off really quickly. John Carmack versus Bethesda/ZeniMax trial has been settled. So they've made nice and settled their legal problems with each other.
Yeah, he finally got his money from the id acquisition several years ago.
Yeah.
And I guess the beef that id had with or Bethesda had with him over the Oculus code stuff, they settled that as well. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The Oculus company suit though still going.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Carmack's not really involved in that one, so we'll see how that ends up happening.
Yeah.
Facebook will probably just give them some money and that'll go away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and finally a PSA for PS4 owners. There's been reports that some PS4 users have been seeing their consoles crashing when they open a message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This sounds very similar to the, you know, Apple iOS stuff where you can send a text to somebody and their phone crashes. So yeah, keep an eye on that. If you happen to get this and you can't delete it on your PS4 because it's crashed, and that's unfortunate. You can still get rid of the message either on the PlayStation Mobile app or on the website. Go and delete it there. You'll know it's the right message because it's like a weird character that your PS4 can't display.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually coming from some weird screen name that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's why you just turn off messages from anybody but your friends.
Yeah, which is what I do anyway.
And if somebody wants to contact you, you know, they can get to you through other means. Just say, hey, send me a friend request. Because you're not an idiot.
Yep. So, yeah. That's,
some people are assholes.
Yeah, they are. But this is something that Sony's going to have to fix in a firmware, most likely. We'll probably see like a 6.01 or something coming soon. Because, you probably don't want to have a crash bug staying on your platform. Because that's usually how you end up with something that's far, far worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is why Nintendo doesn't have messages. Bypass any contact between people.
Basically, it's like Nintendo's like, see,
we knew talking was a bad thing.
Yeah,
that didn't help their hacking problem though. And the Switch Y is wide open already. So, let's get on to our picks of the week. And I've got a kind of a fun one. I have to pick a game this week. It's called PC Building Simulator, and it is exactly what you think it is.
Yep,
you build PCs.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more of a business type sim where you actually run your own PC repair shop. You can build PCs for people, and they might have specific requirements. Like, I want to be able to hit 60 frames per second on this certain game. I've got this budget, whatever. Yeah. It's really interesting, and they just updated it recently. They've added in custom water cooling loops. Those are in there now. I think they got. I'm not sure if they got. Well, they got some major names in there. I mean, they got Gigabyte, MSI, a whole bunch of actual licensed parts in there that you can build your PCs with. So it's not all generic stuff. So yeah, if you want a NZXT case, you can do that. You want your Asus motherboard? Can't really do that. I don't think Asus is on board yet, but they're going to be there. But you can do MSI and Gigabyte and a bunch of other ones. And EVGA, they're pretty prominent in there as well. So yeah, a really nerdy game. It's far more fun than it really you'd think it would be.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the PC building version of House Flipper.
Heck,
where that game is all about just cleaning up houses and reselling them and all this stuff. And it's like, it shouldn't be that much fun to do this tedious thing, but it's actually.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's just it's the attention to detail that went into this one that I really like. It's you can tell it's made by real PC enthusiasts.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not
looking
just a cash grab.
Shots, and they got posters of PC magazines on the walls.
Yeah.
Like, this is a PC Master Race person here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So yeah, $20 on Steam, early access. I think this is one of those games that the price actually goes up the longer it goes. So yeah, get in on that. $20 right now, it'll probably be $25 by the time it's actually out, because I remember it was like $10 when it first started. So.
And of course it says here in the questionnaire, it'll take about 2 to 3 months, and they said this in March.
Yeah. They say it was going to take 2 or 3 months, but what happened was the actual hardware companies got wind of this game, and like they got in touch with the developers, and it's like, yeah, we want to be in this. So that kind of...
Does this have tariff support? Price is going to go up
tariff
as tariffs get announced and all that?
That may be the 1.0 update. The tariff update might be one for version 1.0. So
Everything's 30% more now.
Yep. Either that or the AIB partners are going to have to move their manufacturing to Taiwan or Mexico, which is apparently going to happen. Anyways, so that's mine. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Mine is from Game Informer. For those who don't know, their current, like, major coverage for this month is based around Dreams. Dream. For those you don't know, that's the upcoming game from Media Molecule, the guys who did Little Big Planet and Tearaway.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's their current project. It's been kind of – they've announced it a few years ago, and they've been kind of chugging away at it ever since. And they've now finally got it at a point where they can actually start showing it off. And so that, like, there's two things about it. It's like, much like with, Little Big Planet, a big major part of the game's, appeal, its sort of selling point is its customizability. In Little Big Planet, you could actually, like, had so much materials that you could actually design your own levels and share them online with people, right?
Right.
And that's why those games were such a big hit. Well, with Dream, they've got enough materials here in this game where they provide so many different elements and stuff that you can actually create your own game.
Yeah. At first, I didn't understand what Dreams was, but now that I look at it, it seems like kind of what Project Spark would have been if it hadn't been canceled.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of like that.
Yeah,
you basically do whatever you want.
Yeah, it also, I mean, it does have like an actual campaign. There is a there is an actual game already pre-made in there.
I think it's like a series of games.
Yeah, and it's like absolute. It's about as surreal as you would think it would be.
Yeah.
But so like one of the things they did is I've got it linked here is some of the guys at Gameformer got together and they decided they're going to try and make their own game within it and sort of show how it works. So if you want to take a look at that, go ahead and take a look at it because it's actually pretty interesting. It is legit. I really, you know, this is, once again, there's a game that I'm excited about now. Because it legit looks really good. And unfortunately, you know, they still don't have, like, a proper release date for it.
Yeah, I think they're aiming for 2019.
Yeah. Which, I mean, you know, that's fine. But, yeah, it looks good. I really hope it succeeds.
And one of the cool things about it is it actually has, like, its own version of the Unity Store.
Yep.
So you can just make assets for other people to use in their games. Or if you make cool music or, you know, here's some good scripting stuff or whatever, you know, you can do that and just put it up as the thing and people can just pull it down like, oh, this is something that's already done for me, so I can just focus on the other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's and the more of this that I see, the more interested I am in it. It's yeah, it tickles my little hacker mentality to be able to just get in there and just have fun with stuff. So
yeah,
and the music editing stuff looks really cool because you can actually like blow it out and turn like the sort of basic like music editing stuff you typically see into like a full like 3D map of the music as it comes down like almost like a Rock Band Highway kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's like really fleshed out in a way that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, the music aspect really is a big deal, and that's partly due to the fact that in the campaign, the guy you play is actually a musician.
Yeah.
So, you know, the music aspect is a big part of it. Yep. Damn, it looks good. It really does.
Yeah. So, Dreams, check that out.
Well, it's just Dream.
No, they dropped the S. Okay.
I think it is Dreams.
Is it Dreams? Hold on. Let me look. Yeah, it's Dreams. Okay. I'm stupid. All right.
Yeah, there's multiple Dreams, Brandon.
Yeah, just one. Not just
you don't just get the one and then it burns itself.
Yeah,
multiples. So how about you, Chris?
Yeah, so there are a lot of good sales on PSN right now. They have one celebrating the 2-year anniversary of PlayStation VR's release with a, I think it says 173 games. It's not all games. There's some DLC, but... there's a lot of good stuff here that people should definitely check out if they have either newer units or they got in at launch and kind of let it sit for a while. There's some more recent stuff that's in here that is pretty cool. I'm trying to see. There's Bout of Blood that came out a couple months ago. Darknet is a really cool puzzle game. Doom VFR is like $18 here. Dirt Rally with the PSVR stuff built in is $10, which I believe that's like half a car. You're essentially driving. Yeah. You look out the back. There's not much behind
there's
you.
There's nothing there.
Just focused on going ahead. Drive Club VR is, I think, $5 for PS Plus. Or $3.74, actually. If you can stomach that game, that's a really good one. let's see, Farpoint is on sale, though I would recommend getting the AIM controller bundle.
Yeah.
Maybe upgrading from that to a digital version so you don't have to put in a disc. Firewall 0 Hours, $32 here. I'll probably have to do an article like, hey, here's all the best stuff that's on PSVR.
Yeah.
Because Headmaster's on here, Hatsune Miku, Future Live, VR Future Live is on there. I Expect You to Die, that's a really good one. Job Simulator got a sale. It's like maybe it's the second sale ever.
Yeah.
I have the digital version or the physical version because I got tired of waiting. But maybe I'll buy this and then sell off the original.
Yeah.
Because I assume that probably makes some money now because it didn't make many copies of that game. Yeah. Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff here people should definitely check out. We got a lot of video up on Smash Pad's YouTube of a lot of this stuff. I think I have some as well on my personal YouTube. Yeah, Dead Hungry, Pixel Junk VR, Dead Hungry is on here. Raw Data, Raceless Sun, Psychonauts. There's a lot of good stuff here. So yeah, the only on PlayStation sale has a bunch of Sony stuff here. There's not a ton here, it's 40 games, but there's a lot here that's good, like Alienation's $4. If you like Diablo, but want a dual stick shooter, that's a really good one. Let's see, Infamous, both the Infamous games are on sale. I think it's $10 for Second Son, $8 for First Light, which are all good games. They got the Jak and Daxter bundle, which comes with 1, 2, and 3, and X, the racing game.
Yeah.
Those are pretty good. There's Journey. I think Killzone Shadowfall is $4. Yeah, $4. If you want to see what that is, it's okay. It's all right, shooter. LocoRoco Remastered. Neo's on here, the complete edition. I think that's $30 with all the DLC. Ratchet & Clank is $10. Resogun is really cheap. I think it's $3 here. Yeah, $3. That's still one of the best PS4 games out there. Let's see what else. Tearaway Unfolded. There's The Last Guardian. You can get there's a bundle with Sound Shapes and Hohokam. Those are all really good games. Until Dawn is $5. Uncharted 4 is $10. The Nathan Drake Collection is $8. There's some really good stuff here. Not in the PSVR sale itself, but Super Hypercube is about $8. That game's a really good puzzle game. And the last one is the flash sale. It just went up over this weekend, which has a bunch of the recent stuff. So this might be a good thing for Lee to look at for things he might have missed. Like Divinity Original Sin's on sale there.
Alright.
Like $45. Donut County is about $9.74. Yeah. That's a really funny game. Battleship Brigade's $12. That's a real good one. Let's see, Far Cry 5, Fighting EX Layer, $26 for the light version, $39 for the standard. Fire Pro Wrestling World is $37.49.
Is that with or without the DLC?
The deluxe edition is $67.49.
Oof.
And yes. Guacamelee 2 is on sale for $16, 20% off. That game is real good. Let's see, MLB The Show is $25. The Mega Man X collections are $15 each, $30 for the bundle. Persona 5 is $25.
Well, that dropped pretty quick.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think the PS3 version is $15. Because that's the MSRP dropped on that pretty good. Shadow of the Tomb Raider just came out a month ago. It's $45 now. Slime Rancher is $15. Shenmue 1 and 2 is $22.49.
Boy.
Yep. Let's see. The Crew 2 is $36. Vampire is $36. You can get a bundle of both South Park games for $36.
I bet.
Let's see. It's probably cheaper to get them separately. Maybe a couple cents cheaper. It's 15 and 21, which technically is the same price, but you buy them separately, you get a little bit cheaper. So I think it's not the bundles, as far as I can see, the gold editions. But yeah, some good stuff on sale this week.
Yeah. Well, mostly on the PlayStation, it looks like.
Yeah. It's not too much on the Switch. Yeah. I think they
Nintendo doesn't typically do a whole lot of sales.
Yeah, and indies aren't necessarily jumping at the bit too much. I think Overcooked 2 is $20 there. It just came out a few months ago.
Yeah.
Galgun 2, $30. You want to look at some girls, teenage girls?
Nah.
Get them, get them into climax mode and all that.
No, I'm good.
You could take that on the go. Make sure you're that kind of guy on the bus. Fucking looking at anime girls.
So, not bad for this week.
Yeah, my my recommendation for the week is just save your money.
Yeah, or get Game Pass. Or PC Building Simulator. That's a lot of fun.
Or go buy Valkyria Chronicles 4. It's fun.
Yeah, don't buy Mark and the Ninja on Switch, though.
No. Yeah. No. Or Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Don't buy that either.
Or Forza Horizon 4.
Yeah. So I guess with that, I'll remind everybody that you can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play, iTunes, archive.org, your favorite podcast aggregator. When I don't have it in front of me, I forget what order they're in. You can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have stuff and things that get posted there. With that, I'm Filippo Dinolfo. For Patrick Mifflin, Brandon Perkins, Chris Ologi, and Lee Lamb. We'll see you next week.